So the big question, who do you say I am? And as it comes into focus, as I said, the question resonates with us today in the same way that it did those centuries ago. The big questions that you've had to face in your life, what would you say those were? Just reflect for a moment, the big questions. The biggest question I have ever asked, I think, is, will you marry me? Fortunately, the answer was yes. Not the first time. Perseverance. And the biggest question, anyone offer another big question that they'd had to ask that is shareable. Just interesting to know. Don't have to, but no immediate shares. And a big question you've had to answer. Well, Anthony, do you take Elizabeth to be your wife? Yes! Not a moment's hesitation. Absolutely, right. Another one could be when I was asked to take a trial for the Villa, Aston Villa. No, that's pure fantasy. No. The nearest I got was playing football in the park opposite the Villa ground, because I'm a Brummie, you see. And as a teenager, we had our youth club football in Aston Park, looking across to the Villa ground. And that's where I was every Saturday afternoon as a teenager too, when there was a home game, or a reserve game if it wasn't the first team. What do you want to do when you grow up? There's the difficult one, isn't it, for youngsters and teenagers. I always found that totally impossible. I went through school not knowing. I went through university not knowing. I left university not knowing. But then circumstances sometimes force the issue. You have to get a job. I studied economics at university and I was interested in those things. And I was offered an accounting traineeship. And so that took me through what then became a succession of jobs. And career develops often from jobs, doesn't it, in different ways. But the big question there. And the answer to this question that Jesus posed was going to be, for Peter and the disciples, life-changing, life-forming. It was almost as though Peter blurted this out. Do you know, it was so instantaneous, as the gospel tells the story. But how deep, how insightful. And Jesus says to him, yes. The Father has given you this focus to see. We'll go on to our next slide. As Peter says Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that, to him, as with the other apostles, was going to be life-changing. Nothing was going to be the same after that. And the story of the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, unfolded from that realization. Usually when you are getting to know somebody, you discover their faults as well as their good things, don't you? Nobody's perfect, as they say. But this, for Peter, was a remarkable exception. He was a tough leader of men, a fisherman, impetuous, brave, foolhardy sometimes. But he had a realization that Jesus was indeed a leader of men. He was the Messiah, God's Savior. And the interesting thing I'd ask you to look at when you get back home, and I was just reflecting on this, if you look at the Gospel of Matthew before chapter 16, you find Jesus' identity had cropped up again and again as people were struggling with, who is this man? John the Baptist had actually sent two of his followers to come and see Jesus to say, tell us, are you the one? He was in prison. He was struggling with the message that he had prophetically bringing to the people. And Jesus said to him, Jesus said to the followers of John, go and tell John what you see. The blind see, the lame walk, the prisoners are set free. I haven't exactly quoted it in the right order, I think, but that was the message. Tell John what you see. The gospel had come in power. And John was faithful to the end. As you know, the story was actually beheaded in prison, but he was faithful to the end. But not everyone reacted to Jesus in that way. In the town of Nazareth, where he grew up, people said to each other, we know this man. He's the son of Joseph the carpenter, Mary. We can see his wisdom. We can see his miraculous powers. But we cannot acknowledge him as more than a man, because we've known him throughout his life. And they were offended by him. Two remarkably different reactions. And so it has been through history, I guess you would say, and as we come to our next slide, we can see a modern view. You might have difficulty with the print size, so I'm going to read it to you. But this is C.S. Lewis in the 20th century in his book Mere Christianity. And he says this, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he will be the very devil of hell. You must make a choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about this being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Interesting, I think. I've never heard it put better than that. We know, because probably most, if not all in this room, have given their lives to follow Jesus, we know that he is the Messiah. We acknowledge him to be that. But we are a minority. And in our modern age, our objective as a church is to be connecting our community to Christ. The gospel, when it comes, comes with power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. To transform lives, to make what is dead alive, to make that which is old new, to bring new life for this life and for eternity. And this is the great good news that we share with our community. Louise is sharing it at Easton today as they celebrate, I think, their harvest festival. And that's why I'm here today in Louise's place. But it's a joy always to be able to share this good news. So if we go to the next slide, here's the question then. What about you? Who do you say I am? I invite you to say with me in a moment, because in speaking it out, we acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. Let's say it together. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the good news tells us, as we speak it out, that resounds in heaven itself. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next slide, please. And we have our own stories to share. Following Jesus gives each of us a different story to tell. What we have in common is that we follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our daily life is in his service. The Holy Spirit remakes us as children of God. As Jesus himself put it, I am the vine and you are the branches. The sap of this new life flows up through you and you will bear much fruit. To put it in modern jargon, we are stamped with the DNA of Jesus. Our very essence of being is his DNA now. And we shall live this life in his blessing and we shall conquer that last enemy of death and we shall live forever with him in the fullness of heaven. That is where his DNA takes us. And prayer enables us to walk with him and talk with him. And from that, there is a degree of natural sharing with those with whom we share our lives. It doesn't necessarily flow like water. With me, I find that I want to share the new life of Christ, but the talking doesn't flow naturally. I'm not good at gossiping the gospel, but my desire is to share. And I hope yours is too. Our testimony is that of the Lord acting in our lives. Daily lives, ordinary things, greater things. Also, the Lord puts his stamp of the DNA upon our lives and we grow in him. We grow in the new life of Christ. And Jesus responded to Peter in the reading we read to say, if you go to the next slide, Peter, you are blessed in saying what you have. This realization has not come from men. It has come from God, our Father. And that is true with all of us. This realization that Jesus is the Christ has come from God himself, the Holy Spirit acting through our lives. And we praise God for it. So this is the wonderful thing about Christian life. In the ordinary everyday and in the bigger things of life, we know and experience and can share the story of how God is working things out in our life. Our daily experience is one of prayer. It doesn't have to be grandiose, spoken, rehearsed prayer, but our daily experience of God is one of faith and of prayer, our to-ing and fro-ing in the everyday business, as it would be with husband, wife, with friend, with brother, this sharing. And our faith is built up as we listen and invite the Holy Spirit to be present and act as he will. And our testimony, same as Peter's, you are the Christ, our testimony as we share it with others will bless them. Wherever they are, whatever their situation, the sharing of our testimony will bless others. I assure you of that. This is the story of Christian experience. And for ourselves, we bring to God our needs and concerns and blessings. We bring to Him the difficulties of every day, the blessings of every day, and we look for His continued blessings now through this coming week. And as we come now to the end of this talk and consider how should we respond, the response I'll invite you to make shortly is the response of our sharing in prayer and the sharing of testimony if we have stories to tell. Let us bless each other with those.